When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Oh, yeah. What's up, Spider-Man?
Hello.
Roar! I was waiting all day for that. Oh. Another one bites the dust.
Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one's gone. And another one bites the dust.
Hey, we're going to get you too. Another one bites the dust.
Yeah.
Stoney, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Roar.
As soon as the Lions were up, and I knew you were in this morning, I thought, this is what I need. On Monday morning.
Oh, yeah.
I need the roar. I need Spider-Man Allen. Little slice of what makes you so special and what this season is. It is an unbelievable year. Record-setting season for the franchise.
Yes.
How about that?
Unbelievable.
When we started, do you think we were going to be sitting here just a few years later? With a 13-win team?
No, even though they won 12 last year, I thought they'd win 11 this year. I thought they'd be a better team with a worse record because they had a tougher schedule.
Right. That that was a lot of the conversation going into the season. Better team, worse record.
Yeah.
Didn't mean that they weren't going to be as good or better than last year or do more in the postseason, but it was a first-place schedule.
And I still thought that they would win the division with the record of 11-6. Now, unfortunately, there is the unbelievable possibility, and over the next few weeks we'll discuss that possibility. There is actually a possibility of them going 14-3 and being the fifth seed.
Right.
That is incredible.
It is. It's unbelievable. But, that's one way to look at it.
Yeah.
You could look at it as they're going to have to go 15-2. To capture the one seed.
Yes, that's true.
And they control their own destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Minnesota does as well.
Right.
Because of that game at the end of the season. But we all know that everybody would be in the NFC would rather be sitting where the Lions are versus Minnesota.
Oh, yeah, because Ford Field is going to be the venue of the game. Mm-hmm. And also Minnesota, while it's no guarantee because they're at home, they will be playing the Green Bay Packers, who play tonight, so the Packers will be coming on a short week. Minnesota, that place will be going crazy. Obviously, the Packers are good enough to beat Minnesota.
And, sure.
And that's not to put down Minnesota. They've been an incredible job this year. There's no doubt about it. But, yes, I'd rather be where the Lions are right now than be where Minnesota is. That said, who the hell knows what's going to happen? But let's not focus on that right now. We do want to mention, yes, because it'd be fair, that the Lions, the reason the number one seed is going to come down to that game is because your alma mater, the Washington Commanders / Redskins, came up with an incredible victory to beat the Philadelphia Eagles and give Eagles their third loss of the season. And the Lions, if the Lions and Eagles are tied, I believe tiebreaker-wise, the Lions are ahead now.
Yes.
Yes.
And the beautiful thing is both those games were on Fox, and you got a chance to finish watching Lions-Bears, and then Fox flipped over to show the end of the Commanders-Eagles game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just, you kept the party going. And it was, there was obviously more angst in that game because the Commanders were down.
Right.
And they had a chance, and then all of a sudden they didn't have a chance, and then Philly, uncharacteristically, Smith drops.
Devontae Smith, that's the game.
Drops the, it was the game. It was absolutely the game. And he had, you know, I mean, it catch the ball once, you don't have to worry about it. He had two opportunities to catch it. After he bobbled it, it was in his hands again for a first down. He ends up dropping it. They punt. And then
Jaden Daniels cemented. There are a lot of people that thought maybe Bo Nix is making a run here for Rookie of the Year. It's over now.
You sure would think so. With the end game dramatics. Five touchdowns, but it was also, what, four interceptions?
True, yeah.
So, I mean, I know. Let's call it both ways. And, I mean, Bo Nix right now, they're a 9-win team. And obviously, Washington's a 10-win team. I'm not sure who's doing it with more or less. I don't know that it really matters. But you got two rookie quarterbacks that could be taking their teams to the playoffs.
Yes, absolutely.
So, but what we're here to celebrate is another victory Monday on this holiday week. It's unbelievable. I mean, everybody's getting ready for Christmas on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Hanukkah starts the same day. So
that's right.
Happy Hanukkah.
Thank you very much.
I was listening to the post game yesterday, and there were a number of individuals, and I know you well enough to know that it doesn't bother you, but they would call up and then they would say, "Hey, Stoney, Merry Christmas."
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Look, I've said many times, and I said it with, I think, Jim last week when you were gone on your move.
Yes, which we landed.
Yeah, good. I mean, I know a lot of my friends get upset when I say this publicly. Hanukkah's lame compared to Christmas. Christmas is great. Everybody around, happy Hanukkah because of the numbers. It's all right, you know. It's the
because of the numbers, just because there's just more?
Yeah, it's like you walk into a store, happy Hanukkah. People don't know what the hell you're talking about. Everybody knows Christmas. You know, you don't go to the mall and find Hanukkah Harry and sit on his lap. Is there a Hanukkah Harry? Of course not. You know, it's just, look, I just think Christmas is a better holiday. You know, don't throw me out of the tribe.
We just do it better?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
I don't know about that. I mean, we have, you know, what? I don't know. We don't even light candles. We can, but you.
Yeah. Thank you, Smokey.
Or whatever that is. But you get, I mean, what you get 8 days? Is that what it is?
Yes, 8 crazy nights.
Crazy nights. Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, I can't necessarily say that we do it better. You do it longer.
Yeah. Well, that's not what she says. Anyway.
It's like riding a bike.
Yeah, right.
Put it on a tee and you knock it out.
Hey, you have to. Anyway, enough of that. Yes, actually, for the first time in a long time, Hanukkah and Christmas actually start on the exact same night.
How do they set Hanukkah?
It's the Jewish, the Hebrew calendar is a lot different, so it's...
Well, obviously, but yeah, I don't know.
It's like the Jewish holidays are never the same.
You still have same New Year, right? Or is that...
Rosh Hashanah is the New Year's, but it's not the same day every year.
Oh, okay.
Whatever. I don't understand the whole calendar.
And they play Jewish bowl games on the New Year, right?
That's right.
The Dreidel Bowl.
Right.
The
Dreidel Bowl. That's right. Exactly. That is one of the good things about Hanukkah. You learn how to gamble at an early age. You spin that dreidel, and the Hebrew letters, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Hey. You know, you spin the, Gimel, and you win, whatever.
Stoney, is the Dreidel Bowl the granddaddy of them all?
Yes. Exactly. Let me tell you, a lot of people wish they were watching the Dreidel Bowl on Friday night and Saturday.
Oh, man. Was the CFP, was that just an absolute dud?
It was a dud, but I still think it was really, really cool to have those games on campus. It really was. And, yeah, look, next year, I don't know. And I thought the funniest thing was, you know, Lane Kiffin and all the SEC honks, you know, making fun of Indiana and all that stuff. And then Tennessee goes and lays that egg.
Yeah. Well, and Tennessee was what, a 10-2 team?
Yes.
Yeah. 10-2.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And they got drubbed.
Right.
Just like Indiana got drubbed by Notre Dame. So,
correct.
Yeah, if you want to be in the postseason, Then just win more games.
Take care of your own.
Yeah.
Don't lose to Kentucky at home.
And I do get the, you know, just because you win doesn't mean you're a better team because Correct. Of the opponents that you play. But with 12 teams, there's plenty of space. And if you want to settle it, settle on the field and just win your games.
Right. Look, if you're going to ask me who would win a game between Mississippi and Indiana, I'm going to say Mississippi. Ole Miss. I think they probably are better. But you know what?
We probably had some listeners go, Mississippi. Wait a second.
Yeah.
Ole Miss.
Ole Miss. Yes, indeed. But the Lions were better than Chicago yesterday as they double up the Bears 34-17. There was a lot of really cool and interesting stuff in that football game. Obviously, the stumble bum, as it was called. We'll get into that. All the things to talk about. And the best thing to come out of the win yesterday, that's coming up next. It's the Costa and Jansen program, or is it Jansen and Costa? I always forget.
It's Costa and Jansen.
It's Costa and Jansen.
Yes, yes. But okay. No Heather, so we'll just say Costa and Jansen with Stoney today.
97 won the ticket. Dan Miller with some background reaction from Lomas Brown and TJ Lang. TJ will be with us at 9 o'clock. It's the Costa and Jansen program. Heather off, Gov off. I am Stoney. I'm in for Jim Costa all this week. Greg Hargrave here today, and we're going to have a good time. And, John, we're going to relish.
Yes.
That's right. Relish the Lions' win over Chicago. I don't think anybody thought that they would lose. I thought it was going to be a tougher game. I thought the Bears would actually cover the game. Like a backdoor cover type of stuff, kind of similar to what happened here at Ford Field on Thanksgiving. But the Bears only scored 3 points in the second half.
Yeah.
The Lions only scored 7, but they were in complete control of the game. And so we're asking at 248-539-9797, the best thing in your mind to come out of the afternoon at Soldier Field.
Yeah, and I mean, the conditions weren't necessarily what we thought they would be. It wasn't as cold as I think everybody believed it was going to be. It ended up being just a little bit above freezing. I think it was, 33, 34 degrees as they're showing the touchdown celebration. I think the touchdown celebrations have certainly taken a family turn.
Yes.
Having to sit there. We had a cookie party yesterday over at my brother's house, and his wife did an unbelievable job. But as we're sitting there with all the nephews, nieces, and obviously my kids, when Amon-Ra St. Brown scored his touchdown, the Major League celebration, having to then watch it in slow-mo and answer, Dad, what are they doing? Well, they're showing off the big pair.
How about Gibbs did it twice? Because his first touchdown got called back, then he had to do his celebration again. Yes.
Yeah. So explaining those touchdown celebrations to the kids was, let's just say, a bit uncomfortable. Or it became even more uncomfortable when I didn't have to offer the explanation and they knew already.
Right. Yeah.
Which is even more disturbing. But that was yesterday's problem. Today's no problems at all because Lions win, and the best thing to come out of that win, gosh, there's so many good things. And I know the easy one is the defense, but for me, it was Jared Goff to Jameson Williams.
Oh, the bomb.
The bomb. That one, to me,
we just heard, yes.
Was that put – Jared Goff has put everybody on notice all year long. And, I mean, it hasn't been a perfect season, but it's been – damn good. And when you think about a guy that has been able to you know, resurrect his career here in Detroit, and the big thing was, I can't play in cold. All right, he answered that earlier in the year when they played in Green Bay. Again yesterday with the gloves and all that. But it was arm strength. And I know you addressed it with him last week.
Yeah, and I was giving him a compliment, and he you got to bring this up again.
But that has been part of the conversation.
Right.
The reason you asked the question was because there is this perception that he can't go deep. And when he let go of that ball, it was, I mean, it was a dart.
Yes, yeah, you land the guy perfectly.
60-yard dart. And I thought, oh, my goodness, where did this bomb come from? And he's going to overthrow Jamison Williams. Oh, no. Jamison Williams actually in the final two steps had to slow up just a touch to adjust to the ball. And it literally was 60 air yards that Jared Goff let that sucker fly. That was a scary day for the rest of the NFL.
It's funny, doing the post-game show yesterday with Jennifer Hammond, we had a ticket texter who said the J-Mo play reminded him of Forrest Gump when Forrest played at Alabama.
Oh, yes.
He was running so fast. Yes.
Yeah. And just kept running. I'm surprised he didn't run out of the tunnel. I'm not sure if the tunnel was at that end. But
For me, the best thing that came out of yesterday's game,
yeah.
And there's a lot of really good things, no injuries.
Yeah.
That, to me, they came out of there with a double-digit win, the biggest the biggest win in Chicago that they've had since 1997, to go in there and win by as much as they did, and the fact that it appears that everybody's healthy is, to me, the biggest thing. Now, you want to get down to the actual X's and O's part of it? I got to tell you, to me, it was just the combination. It's not one person. It's, you know, it's Ben Johnson. It's Goff. It's everybody. What does a coordinator or a coach always, you know, answer at podiums? Well, you know, what do you want to see from your offense?
Yeah.
And the word is always, or at least a lot of times, is balance. Is there anything more balanced than 32 rushing attempts and 32 passing attempts? That, my friends, is balance.
Yeah. Well, for play calling, it's balance. For that number, it's balance. And you're never going to, I don't think you're ever really going to have balance in regards to, you know, number of yardage. We've seen it at times where, you know, 200 yards passing, 200 yards rushing. But yes, to be able to call a game where you run the ball the exact same number of times that you pass the ball, to me, that is, balance means, always means something a little bit different to coaches.
Right.
It's balance is we get a chance to call what we want when we want.
Yes.
And I really feel like it showed in the stat column, 32-32, but it showed on the field. The Lions were able to call what they wanted when they wanted.
Right. Now, I know you and TJ, offensive lineman, you say the hell with balance. We want to run the ball more because that's what you're groomed to do.
Well, but it's not just run the ball more. It's when you pass the ball, you want to be able to be aggressive. So even you look at their passes, and still half of them are play-action pass.
Yes.
To me, that's a run.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about setting back. I don't have to worry about the defensive end coming on a speed rush. I get a chance to attack. That's all you want. You get to attack every time you run the ball, but if you get to attack in the pass game as well, it makes your life so easy. And when you have Penei Sewell, and you have Frank Ragnow, you have guys like that. And how about Mahogany?
Yeah, I have him on my list too.
That's another beauty to come away with, knowing that, hey, TJ talked about this before the game. When you have guys that have more experience than you, that are healthy and available, but you leapfrog them, Awosika, he was available.
Yeah.
But he didn't get the start. We've seen him. We saw him start the NFC Championship game. And it's not a knock on him.
Right.
This is a positive for Christian Mahogany that, when healthy, he's the best one. And did Brad Holmes get another steal in the draft?
And it's obvious that if he did get a steal, that, I don't know if you put a demerit side, it's obvious to me that he is further leaped Soersdahl in the depth chart.
Oh, there's no question.
Now, Soersdahl can play a little bit of tackle, but it was, you know, that Mahogany was really good. Now, I'm sure when you guys, and when TJ will be here at 9 o'clock, when you guys, you know, break down the all 22 a little bit, you'll be able to give us more, you know, intimate, shall we say, details of what Mahogany did well and what he needs to work on. Let's go to the fine land of Tecumseh. James, you're on 97 on the ticket.
Well, Stone, you stole my answer. I was saying that there was no injuries. So that's the best thing about yesterday is that we did, as far as we know, we're healthy from that game. So, but I do have a question for you that should be brought up this week.
What's that?
Say Minnesota wins, and we know that going into Monday night's game. Should Campbell sit some of the starters? Because that game will mean absolutely nothing.
Minnesota loses.
If Minnesota loses.
No. I want Minnesota to lose. But I'm saying if Minnesota wins, and we know that the game against Minnesota is going to be for everything.
Oh, I see what he's saying.
So I'm just preparing in case Green Bay doesn't do us the favor.
Oh, okay, because you're saying that even if the Lions would lose to San Francisco, if they beat Minnesota, they're still in. Look, for somebody who's always freaked out about injuries, no, you're playing.
Oh, thank you,
you're
Stoney.
Playing. Right. Yeah, you're playing. And in fact, last year, I don't remember.
And it's San Francisco.
Yes.
Like, there's a score to settle. And I know if it was the last game of the year and the number one seed was locked up, that's a different ball game. And it might be, but there's a score to settle. And number one seed's on the line. You want to make it as easy as possible.
Yeah. Was there a seeding issue involved at the last game of last year? Because I looked it up. They all played last year in the last game of the season, which also I believe was Minnesota at Ford Field.
It was.
Yeah. But I don't. I think they obviously had the division wrapped up. I'm almost positive.
I don't think for the one seed. I think the Niners had the one seed already locked up.
Yeah, right. So I don't know that there
but
was
maybe with
be...
them in Dallas 2-3 might have been. I'm not sure.
Could have been. Yeah. But, yeah.
So I would expect if for some reason, God willing, it's locked up before the Minnesota game, that the starters would play a half and then that's it. That's what I would think. But who knows?
For the Minnesota game, yeah, I would think so as well because you don't want to give two bye weeks.
Right.
I mean, because you're going to have, if you get the number one seed, you're going to have the bye week. And yeah, you do. I know that you don't want to get anybody hurt. And this is a discussion for 2 weeks down the road.
Oh, I know.
But you want to make sure that you keep a good rhythm. And there is a rhythm to life. And that's why there's great value in having a bye week. But there's also that everything gets thrown off. Everything's going to be thrown off in the postseason anyway because you may be playing on Saturday. Mm-hmm. You may be playing on Sunday. That throws everything off in terms of your weekly rhythm. And if you have a normal weekly rhythm, if all things are perfect where you don't have to worry about injuries, then as a football player, 97, we didn't have any bye weeks. Now it's a much shorter season.
Right.
But I loved the fact that we didn't have bye weeks because everything was the same every single week. And we're all creatures of habit.
Would you believe I have a friend who before the Buffalo game, you know how I am about injuries, said they should sit a lot of their starters for the Buffalo game. I said, why?
Well because if they lose, it's an AFC opponent.
Yeah, and he said, like, these guys should not play. McNeil, Davis, Branch, Goff, or not Goff, but a couple of others. And, of course, after McNeil and Davis get hurt.
McNeil and Carlton Davis should have sat that game.
No way. I even said, no. You're fired. I mean, all right. Our telephone number and text number is the same, 248-539-9797. We'll take your phone calls, your text coming up next. Also, did the Lions, with their performance yesterday, give you a little more confidence in the defensive side of the ball? 97 won the ticket. Dan Miller with the call. Is there a school that offensive linemen analysts go to where they step on their play-by-play guys? Huh, John?
It's a home broadcast. Come on, give me a break.
I know. So is there. Yeah. I get it.
No, I know. It's really hard
I know.
For us to contain our excitement when things go well.
I get it.
Offensive linemen are known. Stoic. Just doing our job, but we are the most excitable and emotional creatures on the field.
Right. And most, and I'm saying this in all seriosity, a word you haven't heard in a long time. Offensive linemen are usually considered to be the smartest unit on the team.
Yes. We are a smart unit.
We'll
Leave that alone. All right.
Wi-Fi connected.
Some ticket texts. 248-539-9797. The best part of the Lions game yesterday. Obvious takeaway, Gibbs is a superstar and is about to be put the NFL on notice.
Well, I think he's already put the NFL on notice.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. He's fast, mm-hmm. In case you didn't know.
Best thing about yesterday's game, no major injuries. John and Lake Orion, we agree. No new injuries. That's from Joe in Grosse Pointe Farms.
Well, I would say that no new injuries we know of.
True.
Nobody came out of the game and wasn't able to return. So, yes, I get that.
Best thing in the Chicago game, no significant injuries. That's Sam from Dearborn. That seems to be a common thread here.
Sure.
Top five in the NFL right now, KC, Lions, Bills, Vikes, Eagles. I don't disagree. I might put them in a different order, but it's pretty close.
Well, we're not going to have the power surge because power surge normally happens on Wednesday.
Right.
And so I did talk about this. We'll tease this a little bit for tomorrow. We will have a Stoney and Jansen ranking tomorrow because of the Bills struggling. Kansas City is, I know they're a one-loss team, but it doesn't feel like they're a one-loss team.
No.
They just have not operated as you would expect either a defending Super Bowl champ or one that was at the beginning of the year favored to win their third in a row.
Yeah. They're getting a little better now they got Hollywood Brown in and, you know, Mahomes and D-Hop really starting to get something going there.
Yeah.
But I know they're not pretty. They're just winning.
Yeah.
And when it comes to Philly, look, everybody looks at the loss and they should. But I think it's a different – I'm not going to sit there and make excuses because of all the injuries we've had, but – if Jalen Hurts doesn't get hurt, I think the Eagles win that football game. But that's when you're ranking.
Yeah.
You have to put that
in. No one's going to feel bad for him.
No, I don't feel bad for him at all. Big props to the Lions O-line for bouncing back, and Christian Mahogany looks legit.
Yeah.
John, how did the rookie guard from BC play?
You know what?
He's not even playing yet. He's a project before they drafted him. The question is, did you have to use a third-round pick for him?
No, I don't think BC, British Columbia. I think they're saying BC, Boston College.
Oh! You're right. All right, well, that's good.
Uh-huh.
Noted Canadian Will Birchfield.
No, yes, I was looking at Manu.
No, I know. Yeah. I really thought that I was excited to not that Graham was going to be out, but when you found out that he was not going to play, to know that Mahogany jumped in line as, you know, he's available. And, you know, it's kind of been the secret of, like, you know, when are we going to see him? What's he doing? How long is it going to take to get him up to speed? Is it even going to happen this year? Because he had no preseason, had nothing at the beginning of the year when practices are more physical. And I know that Dan Campbell and the staff still has, you know, physical periods in practice, but it's still not going to be the same intensity. How is he going to be able to get up to speed at the NFL level not having those moments? And I thought yesterday he played with really good technique. And if you're still trying to find your footing, which he certainly is, you play with good footwork and good balance, more times than not, you're at least going to get stalemates.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I was really looking for, is I just want to see him get stalemates. And at times there were some stalemates, and he didn't play a perfect game. But I thought he played with really good technique, good aggression, and there were times where he was actually getting good push. And that's a good defensive front, the Bears.
Yes.
You could talk, they're not a good team, and there may not be a team out there where, like San Francisco, they've been ravaged by injuries and off-the-field issues and drama and all that stuff. But I think the Bears, individually, they have really good talent. Good talent at receiver. DeAndre Swift can be good at times. Defensively, a couple of really good linebackers and a good defensive front. They just don't play as a good team.
I know.
So he's going against really good talent, and I thought that, to me, was great.
Meanwhile, you look at the Bears for a second, and look, I know just because he had the two fumbles, I might be unfairly picking on Odunze, but they drafted him ninth.
Yeah.
You know, with guys, with that offensive line that they have, with Fashanu was drafted after him, and Fuaga from Oregon State, the Saints took him. There was another offensive lineman taken, and they maybe should have rethought that.
To me, he's a victim of poor leadership.
Okay.
And it's a coaching issue, and you could talk about front office, you go all the way to the top, and the bum that's running the organization, but I think there are things that have not been to his advantage.
Right.
I think he's still going to be a really good wide receiver and excellent receiver,
and especially with Keenan Allen, steps it down. Boy, he still has it, man. He was really good yesterday.
He was dangerous.
Here we go. On the ticket text. Big takeaway for me, Terry and Arnold played a heck of a game. No offense, pass interference penalties in some light, tight coverage situations. Defensive pass interference, he means. We're going to need him to ball against the Vikings. Tony on his way to go pheasant hunting.
Oh, good for you. Have a great day.
It's very funny because we got a couple of texts yesterday on the postgame show ripping Terry and Arnold. In fact, one person said, and I quote, the number he wears is perfect for him because he's a total zero. And I said, what are you kidding me? He had the one play where Allen, got him the wrong way. It's Keenan Allen. He you're going to get beat once in a while. I thought Terry and Arnold, his play has gotten better and better each week. He made that really nice play in the corner of the end zone late in that game.
Yeah.
And he's a really good tackler.
Yeah. And so here's, I think there are, on each side of the ball, offensively, the hardest position to come in as a rookie and play is obviously quarterback. The hardest position on defense to come in and excel at is corner.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in this defense where Aaron Glenn is going to be aggressive and he's going to put those corners on an island. I would expect, it's not just him. This team leads the NFL in DPIs.
Yeah.
Okay, you play tight man coverage, it's going to happen. It's the cost of doing business. You put a rookie in that situation, and it's going to cost him some penalties. I think he has done a terrific job. I think he's going to be a good corner with the potential of being great.
248-539-9797. Here's a ticket text that I understand it. I think he's been a little too negative on it, but... No, yesterday's win does not give me a meaningful boost in confidence in the defense. They played an interim head coach, a rookie quarterback, at the time a 4-10 team that has all but given up on the season. The only game left that will give me that boost is the Vikings game.
Well, yeah, so we talked about it last week, Jim and I did, in regards to what can you gain from beating the Bears? And I think there are a few things that you can gain from beating the Bears. You're not going to gain your reputation isn't going to be boosted on either side of the ball. You're beating a team that they are interim coach and a head coach that has gone from what position?
Yeah, he was a coordinator. Coach.
Yeah, position coach to coordinator to now head coach, interim head coach, and he's still operating as quarterback coach, mm-hmm. offensive coordinator, and head coach. So. Rookie, all of these different things. And it looked like at times there were just, with all the mistakes, like did the Bears just simply, were they not focused? Have they packed it in? Are the U-Hauls all packed, ready to head out of town for the offseason? There's probably some of that.
Yeah.
But there are a few things I think you can take from this win right. that are beneficial to the Lions. And we'll keep that conversation going next.
Yes. 248-539-9797.
Founders Brewing Company has been making high-quality beers right here in the great state of Michigan for over 25 years. With a focus on using the highest quality ingredients, you can always count on Founders to deliver extraordinary quality in everything they release. With that focus on quality, they set out to create a beer that lets you have it all, and it's all-day IPA. Here's what you get. It's a refreshing and deliciously flavorful beer. Easy drinking and high quality. All Day IPA is an IPA that is naturally brewed with an array of malts, grains, and hops, creating a delicious citrusy taste and a clean finish. It's the perfect beer for anyone looking to make the ordinary extraordinary and the good times great. And speaking of great times, hey, we're celebrating a 13-win season to this point. I think that's a great time. All Day IPA is the perfect beer for anyone on game days. Visit foundersbrewing.com to find All Day IPA. All Day IPA, it's all in the taste. Founders Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. For 21 years old or older, please drink responsibly.
And little did we know at the time, it was all planned.
It was all part of the master
plan. The stumble bum, it was called.
Yes. Did you think it was pre-programmed?
Not when the first time I saw it, no.
Yeah, no.
And part of that was because of what happened on the Montgomery play against Green
Bay.
The
4th and 1.
Yeah.
Where Glasgow steps on Jerry Goff's foot, and as he's going down, his knee is on the ground. No, he's not down. But yes, it was... It ends up, it was, what, the stumble bum is what they're calling it?
Yes. Here is Jared Goff after the game on the play. And he got it, they said, Ben Johnson, from watching Jordan Love do it against Chicago earlier in the season. But that was not on purpose. That was actually, he fumbled the ball and then picked it up and then threw a pass and completed a pass.
Which is, It's obviously thinking outside the box. If you ask your quarterback, hey, do you think you could actually fumble it and then pick it back up? I mean, I can appreciate the thought process and the fact that that part of it was scrapped.
Yeah.
Because it's not a round ball.
You correct.
Have no idea which way it's going to bounce. But to then take it to the next level of, well, let's fake you going down and that ball being on the ground to get Sam Laporta wide open. And the fact that they had it called earlier, I know Amon-Ra St. Brown talked about it. They had it called earlier. They didn't like the look.
Goff killed it, yeah.
Yeah, which when you have an experienced quarterback like Jared Goff, I've talked about this since he came here, one of his biggest assets, and it's even more now because it's another couple of years of things happening on the field that you just can't prepare for until they happen to you. Jared Goff is one of the smartest quarterbacks that you're going to find. His passer rating, his completion percentage is all terrific. And it could be better if he was a little more selfish. Instead of throwing the ball away where he knows, hey, Jahmyr Gibbs is going to get tackled for a 1 yard loss, mm-hmm. or Montgomery when he was healthy, going to get tackled for a 1 yard loss. Instead of putting his teammate and his offense in a position like that, he just grounds the ball.
Yeah.
Like there are moments like that where, and you're talking, you know, percentage points, but there are some quarterbacks that either wouldn't think about that or wouldn't do it because it's going to affect their stats.
And the other thing, and I actually mention this about myself all the time, when know your limitations. Goff basically told Ben Johnson, I don't think I'm athletic enough to drop the ball on purpose, pick it up and do it. And I think that's perfect. That's what leadership is. Little things like that.
I think his unathleticism, yes, the tiny hands, his lack of athletic ability compared to the others that are out there. I don't want to say he's a bad athlete because amongst the general population, yes, he's still pretty damn good. And I think that's something that goes under the radar.
Right.
But for those that are surrounding him, yes, he is not high on the athletic score.
No.
I think that's also part of what sells it. Is you can believe that he's just going to fall down.
Yes, absolutely, no doubt about it. Let's go to Mike in Washington Township. You're 97 on the ticket.
Oh, fellas, good morning. Victory Monday once again, huh?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
13th.
I have a few points, but that first off, I knew that was a trick play off rep. That was too good. Gibbs that doesn't dive like that. Goff, yeah, he's a little unathletic here and there, but Goff doesn't really stumble out the backfield every week like that. I loved it. It was beautiful. Sam Laporta, what a catch, too. No one's talking about that catch from Sammy.
Yeah, over the shoulder.
Beautiful catch. But this defense, man, best secondary in the league. I'm going to say it. Brian Branch, Kirby Joseph, Kerryon Arnold is finding himself. And then, did anyone watch Iffy?
Yeah. I love this first. I love this first blitz. It's like, but he raced right past Caleb.
He was excited.
I know, exactly.
But, man, he's a hard-hitting safety, too. And then that defensive line. Yes, Bears. Their offensive line, still. Some say it's good, some say it's not. But we weren't getting home, but we were getting pressure. Caleb was on the move. He was making stupid choices. Hey, for that game that we had last week versus the Bills, I'm saying that defense stepped up. That defense played amazing.
I wouldn't say amazing. I do think they stepped up. But the as you will alluded, Caleb making poor choices, you know, that helps a little bit, especially when you're going against Josh Allen the week before. As far as the Lions having the best secondary in the league, no. I'll say they have the best safety combination in the league.
Yeah. Without Carlton Davis, I, with him, I can make that argument. Without him, I don't think they're the best. They're still pretty damn good.
Yeah.
They're certainly top five, I think, in terms of the secondary in the NFL.
I thought Amik Robertson played very well yesterday, too. Yeah. He got beat on one play, but everybody gets beat. And like I said, he's a really good tackler. And now, I know it was only special teams. There was an Emmanuel Mosley sighting yesterday.
Yes, there was.
That was great to see him out there.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And here's the thing I like. We talk about how unselfish Jared Goff is. DJ Reader, without Aleem McNeil there, who's going to get all the double teams? It's going to be Reader.
Mm-hmm.
And his stat line, okay, one pass deflected, no tackles, no sacks, no quarterback hits, no nothing, right? But he is the guy that's going to absorb all of the double teams so that Jack Campbell, Brian Branch, all linebacker, Ben Neiman, but especially Levi Onwuzurike and the rest of that defensive front. Levi Onwuzurike, I thought, played really well. And he's going to have to win up front.
Mm-hmm.
He is simply going to have to win and stay healthy, which is something that in his career he's not been able to do. This year, he's been relatively healthy, and he's been productive because he's been playing next to and with Aleem McNeil, DJ Reader. He's going to have to win one-on-one matchups, which he did yesterday because DJ Reader is taking on the double teams, doing all the dirty work to set up other guys.
Where are you on Za'Darius Smith? I know a lot of people are disappointed a little bit in sack totals, but yeah, like on the sack that they got yesterday, I believe it was Muhammad's. I mean, they showed that Za'Darius Smith maneuvered himself around where they had to kind of double him, and it was a great play, and Muhammad got the sack. Well, has Za'Darius Smith been great? No, but he hasn't been a detriment.
No, and I think people are we talk about the perception of Jared Goff. Can't throw the deep ball, can't play in cold weather, is unathletic. The perception of Za'Darius Smith is that he's supposed to come in and be Aiden Hutchinson. He's not.
No.
He's not going to be. He is playing as Za'Darius Smith has played throughout his career. He's going to win some. He's going to eat up some blocks. He's going to be very consistent. He's not going to be a guy that gets outside of rush lanes and allows – he's not going to be the reason that either Josh Allen, Caleb Williams, insert any mobile quarterback, escapes the pocket. He's going to be disciplined.
All right, 248-539-9797. Coming up next, college football playoff. Did you even enjoy it? And could tonight be the witching hour?
Ooh.
97 won the ticket.